to have Archdeacon Fiona with us, who is now going to come and share the word with us. She's been a great supporter of us, and it's thanks to her that we're in a position now to be able to move forward. So, Archdeacon Fiona, can I come up and I'll just pray for you briefly? Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing Archdeacon Fiona to us this morning. We ask you to speak through her and let us hear your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, it's great to be here with you at last. You know that in the scriptures, what is it? You fight against powers and principalities and all of that. The first time I was supposed to be coming here, I'd got gastric flu. Can I tell you I am never ill? I was when I was coming here this morning. I got out of my front door to see my tyre absolutely flat to the ground. So I was determined to get here, come hell or high water. But anyway, so it's great that I am here with you this morning. And it's wonderful to be able to share worship with you, to pray with you, and to open the scripture with you. You won't know a lot about me, but I was on a Christian community, Scargill House, for a couple of years, and your windows always remind me of the chapel. If you've ever been to Scargill, your windows always remind me of that very special chapel in the Yorkshire Dales. So I'm always very blessed, because for me it's like the tabernacle with the spirit and the light and the sun and everything. I know you have a few issues with the windows. I understand that as your archdeacon. So, but I quite always makes me very emotional just to be to see them. So anyway, it's great. And I forgot about that till I came this morning. There's some people outside. Do they know to just come in? Come in. Come on in. You're very welcome. Come and take a seat. Anyway, let's get to the scriptures. I have had the privilege over the years of ministry of seeing people who have been in really difficult situations with either their parents or with their children or with their friends or with all sorts of different people where relationships have broken down through broken promises or unfulfilled expectations. I worked a little bit for Relate, so you can imagine what I saw there. And here in the scriptures this morning, if we go back to where Peter was, and we've just had the amazing resurrection of our Lord and Saviour. And if you remember what Peter did and his part that he played in that, he did not fill himself with any glory, did he? Did he? No, he did not. So, and he denied Jesus three times. And you can see some similarities here with Jesus's questions to Peter. I think it's ironic that Peter gets a bit cross when he asks him the third time. Do you remember? I'd be thinking, well, do you not remember, sunshine, what's just happened? Anyway, so there's a few similarities going on here. And also the charcoal fire, do you remember that? In the grounds of, I've forgotten the emperor now. Herod, thank you. Herod, do you remember the fire and the girl around the fire? And they were saying, oh, you're one of Jesus' disciples. He said, no, I'm not. And so you've got the fire here today as well. And so those emotions, when I've been dealing with people who have had these tremendous difficulties of pain and hurt and failure, sometimes to take them back to those situations and sometimes smell and sometimes the physicality of very real things can help them. And so here we have this fire, this pit with the smell, and all that evoked probably in Peter of what had gone before. And sometimes you have to look back so that you can move forward. Does that make sense? But I also love the fact here that Jesus does not go through a forensic, look what you did. He does not condemn or make Peter feel inadequate in any single way. And sometimes we like our own back, don't we? When somebody's hurt us, don't we just like them to suffer just a little bit, if we're honest? Perhaps a lot, but certainly a little bit, don't we? bit of their own medicine. Well, here we don't find that at all. We find Jesus giving Peter tremendous responsibility. I mean, can you imagine being asked to feed the sheep and the lambs? Tremendous responsibility of enabling Christ's mission on earth to begin with this failed individual. And I think it's very refreshing. It's very refreshing for me because I fail quite a lot, like every day mainly. But it's great that we have a Saviour that can restore, forgive, and enables me, because I'm actually just a very empty, ordinary, broken vessel that the Lord brings light to, because he's chosen to, in his graciousness, to enable me to speak and to be here. It's nothing at all that is within me that enables me to do that. And so on the seashore, in early in the morning, Peter is restored to be able to lead God's church, even though he has failed, which means that all of us have no excuse. Okay? So I've been given a particular role to do. You wouldn't want it if you were given it, so don't worry about it. A particular role in God, I actually love it, and I believe that God has called me, and I have no wish to go anywhere else because this is where God wants me at this particular time. But it's not an easy thing that I do. And some of you, and all of you, will have different roles, and some of you will not have easy roles, and some of you, you know, we'll be okay with it. But whatever it is that you do, whether you are a prayer warrior at home, whether you lead a Bible study group, whether you lead music, whether you lead the church in leadership and make hard decisions, not everybody's going to like the decisions that you make. Is that right? There's a shame. Some of the churches I go to, one of the sad things about being an archdeacon, I find, is that I sometimes get copied into some of the email chains. I've never been copied into anything here. But some of the things that I get copied into, I think these people have broken bread together on Sunday. What are we doing? How can you speak to one another like that? How can that honor the Lord? What does that do? Anyway, and then what I do is I go and say exactly that to them. I tend not to read it because it's just too distressing often. So I shred it. So if you send me anything too terrible about rows and everything, let me tell you where it ends up, in the bin. But then we come together because I think face-to-face is the much better way of doing things and to find out what's happened. And I might not be able to create a charcoal fire, but let me tell you, I do a similar thing. So what I do is I go back to where it started. And like Jesus, you don't have to do a forensic carry-on with it because that just continues to hurt. What you do need to do is draw a line, don't you? And what you do need to do is make a choice to move on. What you do is make a choice to live differently because we're called to be brothers and sisters in Christ, princesses and princes in the kingdom. Amen? So therefore, we need to live differently, do we not? That does not mean we're never going to disagree again, sadly, because we will, because we're human beings and we're failed human beings and fallen human beings who will get things wrong and misunderstand. We get jealous and we fall out and we think, for all sorts of reasons, that what we think is right. I always think what I think is right. It isn't, but I think it is. So, you know, sometimes I think, well, if God, if you listened to me, you know, we perhaps would be in a different place. Thank goodness he doesn't listen to me. But, you know, what is it when you tell, be careful when you start to tell God your plans because he just laughs. Is that right? Well, I sort of tell God every day what sort of things should be going on, and he just laughs, I think. But there you go. We share together an intimacy, which is something that is hugely important to me. But as we, as brothers and sisters and princesses and princes in the kingdom, and I think it's important we remind each other of that. So when we start to have different opinions, or when we start to have views that conflict in all sorts of different ways, it's always very important to remember that you are arguing or falling out with a princess or a prince of the kingdom. And I think that somehow puts it in a different perspective. I don't know whether you agree with that or not. But don't you think it puts it in a slightly different perspective? Princesses and princes in the kingdom, beloved of God. And therefore we need to work out things a little bit differently than the world works them out. So we pray and we choose to live differently. We pray and we choose to move on. We pray and we choose to love that individual because that's what God commands us to do. That doesn't mean you have to go on holiday with them. That's a relief, isn't it? That does not mean that you have to be best friends, okay? But it does mean that you have to love them, and loving them means that you want the very best for them. So you would want the best for the prince of the kingdom and the princess of the kingdom, would you not? You would want the very best. And sometimes that means putting our own needs to the side. And here on this scripture that we've looked at this morning, Jesus speaking with his beloved disciples, Peter, who he builds his church on, and John, who he loves, his disciple. And if you can imagine that these disciples have seen Jesus now 3 times and they still don't recognize him. They lived with him for 3 years and they still didn't get it. Not a lot of it, did they? And I don't want to make any feminist point here because I don't need to. Well, let's just stick with the facts. Hey, girls, let's just stick with the facts. Was it the princesses that stood by? I think so. So it's just very important that in all of our relationships that we recognize Jesus forgives and restores and enables even the most failed people among us. And it's how we move on from that. Now, when we go back to the beginning of the scripture and they see Jesus on the shore and they're a bit fed up because they haven't caught anything. And I also love the details here too, because they can't have just come back to their fishing boats. So their families must have kept these fishing boats going for them. They can't just have decided, oh, we'll get a fishing boat now. So their families would be involved in some way. So they've got these fishing boats, they go out. Not only are they not great disciples, as it happens, but are they fabulous fisher people? Not really. So not only are they not great at being disciples, they're also not great at the day job. So if you're not great at your day job, don't worry, all right? You're still great in the kingdom of God. So they weren't great at the day job, they weren't great at the other job either. But anyway, Jesus said to them, you know, throw your nets over the other side. Now, I think that's a bit bold for somebody who isn't a fisherman. Can you imagine telling? Have you ever told anybody who knows their job to do it differently? Anybody ever done that? I get it all the time. Anyway. So it is a bit bold. But they say, you know, you're fishing in the wrong bit of the whatever. What sea are they in? Tiberius, just checking you're reading your scriptures here, Tiberius. So throw your nets over the other side and there'll be plenty of fish there. You can imagine, can't you? Probably Jesus was on the shore, so they didn't hear. Get a life, or I don't think so, or whatever. So Jesus didn't hear what they must have been saying. But anyway, to humour him, they threw their nets over the other side. For some reason, they did it. And obviously, I love the detail, 153 fish. Isn't that remarkable? The detail, when people tell us the scripture's not relevant, what about the detail? Isn't that incredible? 153 fish. I have no reason to doubt that, have you? No reason at all. I mean, it could have been 123 fish or 210 fish. But the detail is remarkable that John has gone to here. Remarkable. So we've got 153 fish, and Peter suddenly realizes who this person is. The rest of the disciples don't really. But Jesus doesn't go to the disciples, and when he's swum to the shore, he doesn't rush back to them and say, "It's our Lord." He spends a bit of time reflecting, I guess. I don't know how long it takes, but a little time of just being with the Lord by himself for a bit. It's also very interesting. He didn't think he could meet the Lord without his clothes, because obviously they didn't fish with clothes then. which is also a very interesting fact. So he decided that he needed to put something on to meet his Lord. And I wonder what it is that we think that we need to put on to meet our Lord. I don't know what it is that you think you need to put in. Because I tell you what, the Lord knows everything. He knows every single detail. It may be that you want to persuade him into a different way, or persuade him that perhaps you wasn't quite that bad. I do that all the time. It wasn't, you know, I could have, or I should have, or I may have, or possibly. But, you know, it's all a waste of time, Fiona, because he knows anyway. And it must have a great deal of, you know, hilarity listening all this, because he knows exactly what's happened. He knows exactly what was written. He knows exactly what was said. And do you know what? He knows exactly what was thought. And so it's very important that when we have time with our Lord, that we are as honest as we know that we can be. Because God already knows the whole, full, and sometimes awful truth. But God still loves us as princesses and princes in the kingdom, no matter what, which is just as well, eh? Just as well that that is the case, just as well. And that one day when, you know, we leave this planet and we die, and I can't wait, actually. Not that I'm thinking I'm going to die in a minute. Don't misunderstand me. My husband says God has enough trouble with me here. He's not going to want me up there anytime soon. But anyway, when I wake up in the morning, you know, thank you, God, for another day serving you. But I long for that day when I will be partying in heaven. Do you long for that day when you will be partying in heaven? There's no problem. If anybody here is worried about what might happen, let me tell you, it's going to be nothing that you've ever experienced. But if you think of your best ever evening or day or moment of your life, if you just think about that and treble it by 3,000, you might get somewhere to what that's going to be like. Can you imagine? Being met by Christ in glory. How fantastic that is. And so often in our own approaches, in our everyday lives and in our churches, sometimes we need to live in that eternal salvation. I'm not saying that we need to be so heavenly minded we're of no earthly good. You've heard of that saying. What I am saying is we need to look at things from eternal perspective. And it sort of puts things in a different realm, does it not? It sort of helps us. So when we've got, you know, difficulties and things that is very difficult to sort out, and let me tell you, my life is a bit full of that, I just put it into eternal perspective, because I think God is going to overrule and transform and sort out anyway. And he can take all my failures, because I look at Peter and I sometimes think, a little bit better than that. I'm not. But, you know, sometimes I might think I am. But if you really saw me, if you really knew, and you'd got it written down in scripture of all the stuff that I'd done or should have done or forgot to do, I'm not good enough to get through your church doors. Never mind stand up here. I am only here because the Lord has ordained that I should be. Because the Lord gives me light and life, hope, and the ability to serve him badly, actually, very badly. But that's as it is. And so none of us need to feel downcast. None of us need to be too concerned about the things that trouble you. Because it will all pass. It will all pass, and whatever, I don't know any of you, well, I know a few of you, but not many of you, not very well. I don't know what type of situation you're going through at the moment. I don't know whether, you know, how dark it is, whether this is your Good Friday. I really don't know, but what I do know is, and I'm certain of, that morning will come. I do know that. And I do know that the resurrection of Christ Jesus means that you can hold your head high. I do know that. I do know that there will be a time when there will be no pain or crying. I do know that. I do know that God will put all things right, and I don't know when that will be, but everything will be all right. And not only will it be all right, but people will be healed and restored, forgiven and enabled. I do know that. And we don't have to sit here thinking, well, we don't have to do anything now till, you know, the Lord calls us home, because I don't believe that either. I believe we work with Christ in all things to bring about his purposes. He doesn't need me to do anything, because the Lord has 1,000 hills with 1,000 cattle and can do whatever the Lord needs to do. He doesn't actually need me. He chooses to love me. He chose to die for me, as he did for each one of you. He didn't need to. Chose to. And as we see on that shore this morning in our scriptures, as they cook fish together, and they'll sit and they will eat that fish and they break bread together, that's what we're going to do in a moment. We will break bread together. And if there are things that need to be restored and put right, well, let's pray for you. Let's pray together. Don't leave this morning without that being sorted out. Is that an amen? Amen. Let's not go into another day without it being sorted out. Let's lift our heads high. Let's live as princesses and princesses, princesses and princes even, in the kingdom. And let us be loved and honoured by God as we are, and allow God to show him how much we love him. And as with Peter, we continue to feed those lambs and the sheep, so that others who are yet to know about Jesus' resurrection and what it means will have a glimpse of Christ's love for them. It's been an honour to be with you this morning. It's an honour to share scripture with you, and it would be a great honour to pray with you. Amen.
We're now going to have our intercessions. Mighty God, your Son revealed himself again and again, convincing his followers of his glorious resurrection. And as our song says, we bow our hearts and lift our hands and turn our eyes to you again. We surrender to the truth that all we need is found in you.